Chapter 14 this morning, Exodus chapter 14. We're plowing through this book together. I'm enjoying my time studying it, enjoying my time preaching it. But I'm not going to ask you if you're enjoying your time listening to it, okay? That's just between you and the Lord. You just keep that between yourself, you know? Amen. Exodus chapter 14. This is the mighty chapter of the parting of the Red Sea. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, verse 21 and 22, get our title and dig right in here. Let's read Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pahaheroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Look at verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 3. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the phrase, entangled in the land. Entangled in the land. Let's pray together. This will make sense, and we'll give you the outline today. Father, we love you. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. Thank you for the good sense of your presence here today. I pray that you remove anything that's hindering you, I pray. I ask that as I stand to preach that you help my heart to be clean. May nothing be in my life that's displeasing to you. May everything that's said and the words that's said and in the attitude and spirit it's said, may it all be pleasing to you. Do business with us. Speak to us. Help us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Studying this particular passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ took me to school. What I mean by that is as I was in my study, the thoughts in this message when I read through this chapter just seemed to be a jumbled up bowl of alphabet soup, if you will. There came a time when I was studying this passage that I told the Lord I was going to step away from the passage. Because I've learned sometimes when I'm really struggling about getting the main thought, just get away from it, pray, talk to God, and eventually the Lord's going to open my understanding. I ask him to do just that. I ask him to open my understanding and make this jumbled up bowl of alphabet soup to make sense. The following day, I came back to this portion of Scripture, and the Lord, after I'd prayed about it, opened it up and showed me the major thought with the outline. Let's dig in together. Let me give you this major thought, entangled in the land. Notice in verse number 1 how the Lord told Moses to tell the Israelites, turn and encamp, this is verse number 2, before Pahaheroth, between Migdol and the sea. Now believe it or not, in this command we find our key thought coming out to light. It's been brought out that when the Lord sent the Israelites to this place, he was sending them to a place where they would seemingly be trapped. See, the Red Sea would be in front of them, and in this place to encamp before Pahaheroth between Migdol and the sea, according to my study, in that place the Red Sea's in front of them, and there were great walls of stone on each side of them, and then we know from the story that the Egyptians are coming from behind them. So get this. What they have is they have the Egyptians, their past, chasing them. Because the word pursued here, it carries the idea of to hunt or run after, usually with hostile intent. And as a result of this present position, in other words, the Egyptians are breathing down their neck, the Red Sea's in front of them, great walls of stone are on either side of them. The bottom line is they were penned in. And they were surrounded with their past breathing down their neck. In other words, this was a place of seeming entrapment. Even Pharaoh thought that they were entangled in the land. They had come face to face with impossibility. The Lord had put them in a place where only He could deliver them. There was absolutely no way out but God Himself. Now, paint this picture in your mind. Here they are, they've been delivered from Egyptian bondage after over 400 years of bondage. God has performed mighty plagues and Pharaoh has kicked them out of town. They go, and the last time we met here, we saw that God took them another way. He didn't take them the way of the Philistines. He took them the way of the Red Sea. To them, that didn't make any sense because that wasn't the easiest way. It wasn't the shortest way. But God has a plan for their life. He takes them to this place between Pahaharoth and Migdol before the sea, and He brings them to the Red Sea. Now, here they are. Right here's the sea. They look to the right. They cannot get by that way. It's just massive stone walls, if you will, mountains or whatever the case may be. Look to the left, the same thing. So if they start to turn back and go back, they see the Egyptians coming after them. Do you see where I'm going with this? They are trapped. They are entangled in the land. They're in a place here that if God doesn't intervene, it's over with. It's finished. They're going to die right there. Question. You ever been there? Have you ever been in a place? No doubt in this crowd, there's somebody who is pinned in some kind of a circumstance, and there's no way out unless God intervenes. There's one here who is face to face. Say, is he talking about me? I don't know. I don't know who I'm talking about. But in a crowd this size, there's no doubt one, maybe more, maybe many, who is here today that you're face to face with seeming impossibility. There's one here, no doubt, who's afraid, doubting, questioning because of the present condition that they find themselves in. And I'd simply like to say this, that when you find yourself in this place of seeming impossibility, before Pahaharoth, between Migdol and the sea, there are things to help during this time. As a matter of fact, I believe it's five things that I'm going to give you. That when you find yourself with the Red Sea in front of you, impassable surmounting objects on either side of you, and something breathing down your neck to take you out, five things to keep in mind. Number one, first of all, entangled in the land, there is, number one, a principle to see. There's a principle to see. Now look at verse number 13. Keep in mind what I've just given to you, where they're standing. There's no way they can move. They can't go anywhere. I mean, the sea's in front of them, mountains are on either side of them, and the Egyptians are trying to kill them coming from behind. There's nowhere for them to go. The only place they could turn was to God. It's the only place, because if God doesn't show up, they're going to be taken out. And when you find yourself in those circumstances, number one, there's a principle to see. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now notice two words in verse 13, stand still. Two words in verse 15, go forward. Circle them, mark them, put a line between them. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God said, what are you doing? Go forward. Now there's a great principle that comes out here. And I want you to ask the Lord to give you understanding. When the Israelites saw the Egyptians marching after them with no place to go, they were afraid, they were doubting, they were questioning. It's interesting to note a principle that's established in these verses. Notice now how Moses told the Israelites, stand still. And a few verses later, the Lord told them, go forward. It seems as if these two commands don't go together. But can I say this to you? They do go together. In this we see a powerful principle for our admonition during times of seeming impossibility, during times of entanglement, during times where I'm talking about you're pinned in, you cannot move, something's breathing down your neck, what are you going to do? The principle's this. In order to go forward, you must first stand still. You say, Jody, what's this mean? Here's what I'm saying. The Lord was getting to test what he was doing. He was getting ready to test their faith and build their faith in a mighty way. But before the command to go forward, first came the command to stand still. Verse 14 says, hold their peace. Get this. They were to stand still at that moment. Don't make any rash, hurried decisions. Stand still and consider God. And then whatever God says in that time of quietness would be the way of escape. They were to stand still to know God's mind. And when they heard God's mind, they went forward. Psalm 46 verse 10 says this, be still and know that I am God. Can I say this to you? When you find yourself surrounded with no seeming way of escape, stand still and know He is God. And He has a way of escape. Now, I hope I'm making sense what I'm saying here to you. You know, there's a little song that goes like this. The chorus says, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you've reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. This is something that the Holy Spirit's going to have to apply to your heart. But the main thought I'm trying to get across here is when you find yourself entangled where Pehahiroth and Migdol between the sea and the Egyptians breathing down your neck and you look everywhere you look, you can't get out of it. I mean, there it is. You cannot ignore it. You're trapped. Seemingly you're trapped. And to the human mind, there's no answer. What are you going to do? You're either going to sulk in it. You're either going to try to go up that mountain and realize that was a lost cause, or try to do this, or turn around and try to fight. No, listen to me. Don't try to figure it out, is what I'm saying. Just stand still. Stand still in order so God can take you forward. Does that make any sense, what I'm trying to say to you? Number one, there's a principle to see. Stand still, let God make the next move. Number two, when you're entangled in the land, there's not only a principle to see, but number two, there's a promise to encourage. We see this in verse 14, then verse 16 and following. Look at verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, ye shall hold your peace. Look at 16. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. See, in these verses, we see the Lord giving his people a series of promises to encourage their troubled hearts. Here's what he said through Moses. He said, listen, stand still. The Lord's going to fight for you. Along with this, the Lord told Moses he was going to divide the sea for the Israelites to pass over on dry ground. Then the Lord promised to get honor to himself upon the Egyptians. Now in this, get this, the Lord was promising victory in this time of seeming impossibility. No wonder Moses said, the Egyptians whom you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. That's what Moses said. These were certainly precious promises to encourage Israelites during their time of fear, doubt, and questioning. Here's what I'm trying to say to you here. When you find yourself hemmed in, you find yourself with almost just like something breathing down upon you. You find yourself in a situation where it feels like the life's being sucked out of you, or your life is being threatened, or whatever the case may be. I'm talking about stones here, a seeming impossible sea in front of you, and the past breathing down your neck. I'm talking about bringing swords and spears, whatever they carried back then, to take you out of this life. When that happens, when you find yourself in that place, the principle is stand still, then go forward. Number two, God always, when you get into His Word, when you go to the Bible and you ask Him to speak to your heart, every time you find yourself in a place of entanglement, God's Holy Spirit will open the Bible to you if you're inside of it, and He'll give you promise after promise after promise after promise. And the promises of God is what carries people through when they find themselves entangled in the land. You know what people do when they find themselves hemmed in? They throw the Bible away. I'm not talking about physically throw it in a garbage can. I'm saying they say, what's the use? I'm not reading it anymore. My life is terrible. It's in ruins. It's in shambles. I can't feel God within 10,000 miles. I feel like when I pray, my prayer doesn't get past the ceiling. What am I saying to you? I'm saying in times like that, you need the Bible more then than you did when you were on the mountaintop. And I'm telling you this morning that we see here that in Israel's time of encampment, I'm talking about entrapment upon the sea. I'm talking about when they thought there's no, this is it, my life's over. You mean we were delivered for this? At that time, God stepped in and said, I will fight for you. God stepped in and said, I will divide the Red Sea. God stepped in and said, you will go across the sea, through the sea, on dry ground. God stepped in and said, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They will follow you, and I will get glory upon the Egyptians. God said, ye shall not see the Egyptians again. What am I saying? What He gives to His children during times of trouble and doubt and fear and entanglement is He gives them the promises of His Word. One of the hardest times I've gone through, which I realize compared to what some of you precious folks have gone through, I'm just a pup, and I understand that. I know that. But I know the small things that I have gone through that God has always proven true to me. And I've learned this, just like Preacher Lashley used to say, if it's on you, it's minor, but if it's me, it's major. Amen. I remember when our middle girl, Jalen, was born. Now, this is old here and all of this. This is nothing new under the sun and so on. But I remember when she was born, she had a really big head. Now, I still think it's because she's a Jenkins and she's got so much brain power in there and so on, all these kind of things. This is really for the benefit of those who've never heard this story, because if you've come here for a long time, you've heard this story before. Her head was in the 95 percentile, but her body was in the 15 percentile. In other words, just normal. It's like her body was 15% and her head was 95%, okay? Well, we didn't know what that meant, so we took her to the doctor and we found out. We started digging a little bit. It's always dangerous to dig, you know. And we asked, we said, what's this mean? And the nurse said, well, worst case scenario, it could be brain damage. Well, that scared us to death. Now, on this side of it, we're looking back at it. She's doing fine. I still wonder if she's got brain damage every now and then, but she's doing fine. But that scared us to death. And can I say this to you? I'm a human being, friends. A pastor's made of flesh and blood just like you are. I'm no better than you. I struggle with things just like you do. And I'll be honest with you, I was struggling with that. That's my baby girl. At that time, the only girl I had. And I'm telling you, I didn't know what else to do but get my Bible. I'm not trying to be spiritual. Well, excuse me, maybe I am trying to be spiritual. The only thing I knew to do is get my Bible. Because I'm going to tell you something, if it was brain damage, that was outside of our jurisdiction. There's nothing we can do about that, friends. You listening to me? There are things in this life that's not caused by sin or the devil, but the Lord chooses them for you. And it's stuff it's out of your hands. That's what Israel's going through. This was out of our hands. And I begged God. I said, God, I need something from you. I've got to have something. I was in my truck. That is one of the greatest places for me to get along with God is in my truck. Especially with three kids in the house, you know what I mean? I got in the truck, and I keep in mind it's my baby girl, my girl. And I know that the text that I'm going to give you here, he's talking about the city of God. I understand that. He's talking about, I understand all that. But this day I needed something that had to do with my baby girl. God, speak to me. And I just so happened to be in Psalm 46 that day. And I read these verses. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. When I read that, I realized God was beginning to speak to me. But I read on. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God was ministering to my heart, but then I got to verse number 5, and God was inside that truck with me. God was in there, friends. Because it's my baby girl, and here's what this verse said. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. When I read that she, her, I know it's the city of God, but it was Jalen that day, friends. And God said, you asked me for it, there's my promise. Can I say this to you? I know it's easy for me to sit on this side of it when there's no problem, but go back with me then. We didn't know if there's a problem or not. You understand what I'm saying to you? We didn't know. At that moment, that's all I needed. I know that if there was brain damage, which there's not, praise God, but if there were, I knew based on that verse right there that everything was fine. You say, you live uplifting yourself? No, I'm just telling you that this flesh started getting afraid. This flesh started doubting. This flesh started questioning. But when I went to the Bible, God gave me a promise. You know one of the greatest things you can do when you're in a time of seeming impossibility? Get alone with the Word of God. And beg God to give you something. May not be today. If it's not today, what's he doing? He's enjoying your communions, what he's doing. Amen, friends. He wants you to prove to him how much do you want this promise. Well, I went to the Bible. I read it a week. God didn't give me anything. He never promised he'd give you something today, friend. But you keep giving it. Keep reading it. And I promise you, it may not be what you want, but I promise you he'll give you a verse that you can hang on to carry you through your time of entanglement. That's number 2. Let me give you number 3. During the time of entanglement, we see a principle to see. Number 2, a promise to encourage. Number 3, a presence to guard. We see this in verse 19 of our text. Look at verse number 19 of Exodus chapter 14. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now here, this is great right here, friends. These verses tell us that the angel of the Lord that went before them now removed himself and went behind them and stuck himself right in between them and the Egyptians. When he did this, he gave light to the Israelites and darkness to the Egyptians, so the Egyptians did not come near the Israelites all that day. Now get this thought. In this we see the presence of the Lord guarding his people from the pursuing enemy to the point that he allowed the Egyptians to come so far, but no further. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes when the enemies are attacking, the devil all of this, especially the devil, when he's coming after you, he's trying to take you down. You realize that that's not right. That's got to be the wicked one. He's trying to take me out of this life. When you go to God, you stand still. Take your orders from him. He wants you to go forward. Realize he's promised when you go forward, I'm going to be there for you. At that moment when you begin to trust God, God's presence will come between you and the devil, and he'll let him come so far, but there's a point where he says, no further. This is biblical. All you got to do is read the story of Job. When the devil came and presented himself, and he said, hey, Job's just who he is because you're just so good to him, God. You touch his family. You touch his health. You do any of that and he'll curse you to your face. And God said this, okay. You can do anything you want to him. But don't kill him. What'd the devil do? Everything else. You know what I get great help with? I know the devil's after me. He's after you too, friends. I know he's after me. But I serve a God who even rules over him. That even if the devil tries to take me out, God at any moment can step in and say, What am I saying to you? I'm saying this. Things that happen are not all God that's doing it. But God can divinely step in and stop anything he wants to. You say, well, then why didn't he stop this for me? I don't know. Ask him when you see him. Because he always has a right answer. There is a presence to guard. If you're his chosen people, if you are in his family, you are safe and secure, and nothing will touch you that doesn't pass through his hand first, friends. Let me give you number four. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Number four, entangled in the land, there fourthly was a power to save. A power to save. This is found in verses 21 to 30. I'm not going to read that for time's sake. But these verses tell us that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea just like God told him to. And when he did, the Lord caused the sea that night to divide. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea. Now remember that the presence of the Lord gave them light to go forward. And we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, that these Israelites passed through the waters, read it yourself, by faith. You tell me it didn't take faith in God's word to step in the midst of the sea? Would you have done it? It's easy to say, well, they should have, and they did. But I'll guarantee you one thing, if the sea opened up and it's completely dry, not one drop of water was on that dirt, not one drop. Let me tell you how I know that, because God said it would be dry ground. Amen. I mean, it was dry ground. Wall of water this side, wall of water that side. And Hebrews says they went through it by faith. The water was a wall unto them on the right and left side. The Egyptians pursued, but the Lord, the Bible says through the cloud, the Lord looked at them. You know what I like? I like God fighting for me. I mean, the Egyptians were trying to follow them, trying to kill them. And the Bible says that the cloud, the presence of God, says he looked at them. And you know what he did? He had the wheels on their chariots fall off. Read it. He took the wheels on their chariots off. The Egyptians at this time said this, get out of here, God's fighting for them. Read it. Their God's doing it again. I mean, the wheels of their wagons just falling off. Friends, listen, it looks like the Egyptians, they weren't very smart upstairs. You know what I'm saying? They even used his name Jehovah. The Lord told Moses to stretch out his hand again, and the waters would come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. Moses obeyed, and the water returned to his strength. The Egyptians fled from it, but the Lord overthrew them in the midst of the sea. So much as there remained, not so much as one of them, the Bible says. What am I saying? I'm saying the Lord saved Israel that day. Through his mighty power, the Egyptians and the Israelites, right here, the Israelites saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Their enemy, their past was now dead. God had saved them. What a mighty power God displayed that day. You know, in the same way, our God has power to save out of any circumstance or situation. It doesn't matter what the diagnosis. It doesn't matter what the condition or position. Going forward was probably the last thing the Israelites thought about. But they were to find out that God's strength, now get this, was really made perfect in their weakness. Let us by faith trust Him to divide the sea in our impossibility. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. 2 Corinthians 12:9, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What are we looking at? We're looking at when you find yourself entangled in the land, nowhere to turn. God's the only way of escape. There's a principle to see. You must first stand still in order to go forward. Secondly, there's a promise to encourage. Let Him speak to your heart and challenge you and encourage you with His promises. Third, there's a presence to guard. He will let the enemy come so far, but no further. There's a power to save. If He so chooses, He can divide the Red Sea. But finally, this is really what the story's about. There's a product to notice. A product, a result, an outcome. When everything's said and done, what happened? Look at verse number 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Notice this now. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Now get this. At the end of this story, we see the Israelites saw the great work that God did for them. Now as a result of what they saw, they feared the Lord and believed Him. Get this. At the beginning of this story, they were fearing the enemy. They were fearing their circumstances. But now the fear that was given to the enemy was transferred to their God. May I say this to you? The Lord was working in this story to bring glory to Himself. We see this in verse 4, 17, and 18. And can I say this? He got glory from both His enemy and His people. Our God desires and deserves to be feared, and He desires and deserves to be glorified. Many times, our God is praised more when He delivers from a seeming impossibility. Therefore, if you're going through something today, the Lord can use it to bring glory to Himself. I'm not saying that what you're going through is of God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Sin brings things on. The devil throws attacks at you. The world, the flesh. God's not in everything that happens. God doesn't cause that. God's not the cause of everything, friends. He doesn't cause sin. He doesn't cause those things. But what this message is no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, if you look all around you and it says, it's impossible, I can't get out of this. Oh no, that's not true. If you are God's child, God can make a way when there seems to be no way. This is what this story is about. Now let me conclude this and I'm done. In this story, we see the Lord building the faith of His people. As a matter of fact, we see Him sending them to Pahaharoth. This was a seeming place of entrapment. I'm just summarizing this now. This was a place of seeming impossibility. This was a place of seeming destruction. However, we see the place Pahaharoth. Are you ready for this? He sent them to Pahaharoth. Seeming bondage, seeming impossibility. We're going to die here. It's over. You know what Pahaharoth means? A place of freedom. That's what it means. Interesting, isn't it? Get this. The place that the Israelites thought would be bondage and possible death ended up being the very place God used to set them free. Let me ask you a question. Where are you at right now? I'm not asking, I'm sitting at Buffalo, I'm not asking that. I'm talking about spiritually with your life. Where are you? Do you feel like the world's crashing in around you? Do you feel like it's over? Do you feel entangled in the land? Do you feel there's no way out? Take this advice. God knows the outcome. We don't need to. We only need to know God. Let me say it again. You find yourself in a place of impossibility. God knows the outcome. We don't. But we need to rest in what we know to be true about our God. He will not let anything take you down unless it passes through His hands first. He has power to save you if He so chooses. He has promises He wants to give you strength to make it through. Will you trust Him? Will you believe Him? And when He divides the Red Sea, will you by faith, after you have stood still, will you go forward? Entangled in the land. May the Lord help us to understand this. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Thank You for this day. I pray for this thought that You'll bless it, breathe upon it, use it, speak to our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let me encourage you, if you wouldn't mind, to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed out of respect for the Lord, but also respect for others that the Lord may be dealing with. They're going to begin to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. Number one. Do you know God as your Savior? In a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm asking, has there been a time in your life where you realize that you were a sinner? Jesus died for you. And has there been a time where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a believer. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I die just like I am, I'm concerned about my soul. That it may not go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I'm just not sure about it today. That that's where I'm going. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. Pray for me. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a believer. When you're talking about being entangled in the land, in the place of Pehaheroth and between Migdol and the sea, a place where entrapped, where it seems like I can't do anything, it's impossible. It's a situation that I can't get out of it. I'm in it. I can't get out of it. And I realize that even in places like that, God can get glory. God wants to do something where He gets praise. I'm not preaching that He's going to give you what you want. I'm not preaching that He's going to divide the Red Sea for you. I'm not preaching that at all. I'm simply saying this. There are no impossibilities when God is on your side. That's all I'm saying. Have you today say, Jody, I'm a believer, and I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like the Israelites, with the mountains on every side, the Red Sea in front of me, and something pursuing me behind, I feel like I'm trapped. There's something going on in my life where I feel like I'm trapped. I feel that way. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it, friends. You feel like you're trapped with something. Yes, God bless you. If you raise your hand to that, I want you to listen to me closely. Even times when you feel like you're trapped, if you're saved and you're born again, God can help and give you what you need. Don't run from Him. Stand still. Let Him move. Let the next order come from Him. Invite you to come to the altar. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, let's all stand together, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, take this thought. Use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place now as He sings? Leave now and come.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a storm. Anywhere.
thought about it.
Trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Sing it if you know it.
Trusting as the moments fly.
This may be a message that you come today and say, I'm not in a place like that. You know what you need to do? Praise God you're not in a place like that. But realize that if God tarries His coming, every human being, if you live long enough, will find yourself at Pehaharoth at some time in your life. You're going to be there, friends. You need to understand that. It's either now or later. Isn't that encouraging news? But I'm saying that even when you find yourself there, don't forget the principle, stand still. And then go forward. Go to God and let Him give you promises. Realize His presence is in your life. And the enemy can only come so far. Realize that He has the power to deliver you if He so chooses. But don't forget the product. That when all's said and done, He wants glory. He wants honor. And sometimes He can even use those impossible times to get what He deserves. That's the message. Encourage you with a couple of things and we'll be dismissed. If you're staying for the lunch, you're going to be going to the gymnasium. Let me go ahead and dismiss all grades 1 through 6, teachers, superintendents. Let me give you a head start first. This is Gift Sunday. If you have a child that was in Sunday school, these teachers are going back to their department. If they were in Sunday school, we want you to let them go back to their Sunday school class. They'll receive their gift as you leave today. So let me now, all 1st through 6th graders that are here, a majority of them are in children's church, but if you have a 1st through 6th grader that was in Sunday school, you can go with them. If you'd like to do that, take them back to their class, and they will receive their gift. This is also, I guess the nursery probably received theirs back there. So this is 1st through 6th grade. All right? If you're staying for the meal, you can go outside and go across the parking lot or straight down the long hallway. Take where it says exit to the right. Go through there. It's in the gymnasium. Be back tonight. Have y'all have a child that's 12 years or younger? Would you raise your hand? I'm preaching a message tonight. We're going back to the book of Luke tonight. Luke is our New Testament book. And I'm preaching a message tonight entitled, When He Was 12 Years Old. When He Was 12 Years Old. Specifically for the kids. Principles for all of us, but specifically for the kids. Have your kids here, okay? They need to hear the message. Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Bless this service now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you're a visitor, please take your visitor's card to the Welcome Center. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. See you this evening.